Please turn with me to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 13, beginning in verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again come into your presence to give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We pray this morning that through the power of your Spirit, Father, that you would encourage our hearts and comfort our hearts. So many of us, Father, are dealing with certain situations and struggles and trials, medical situations. Father, you know it all. There is nothing hidden from your sight. You know all things. You know what we feel. You know all the things that we think, our thoughts, our struggles with trying to understand why this is happening. Father, we pray this morning that you would apply this text to our hearts. Let us understand, Father, that indeed you are there. That you have not abandoned us. That you don't forsake your people. Father, comfort us with your word this morning by the power of your Spirit. Let us look to you, Father, and bring healing to all the hearts that are here this morning. Father, give us wisdom as we endure our trials. But let us endure them, Father, with your strength that you provide and not our own. Let us always look to you in all things. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Please be seated. I know that last week we had jumped back into Matthew. We had taken a few weeks off from Matthew, scripture. And I was talking with the elders earlier this week, and there's a lot of us going through some difficulties right now, going through some struggles, going through trials, going through medical situations. One of the things that we end up having come to our minds whenever we're enduring such times is if God is still with us, because we don't see him moving. We don't see him acting on behalf of us. And so we wonder, is God really there? Why isn't God doing anything? Has he indeed forsaken us? And what a wonderful passage of scripture that we come to this morning to have our hearts encouraged, which is Psalm 13. It's a psalm of lament. It's a psalm of David. We don't know at what point in David's life that this had taken place. Perhaps he wrote this while he was being pursued by Saul. Perhaps he wrote it whenever he fled from Jerusalem, fleeing from his son Absalom. We don't know when he wrote it, and to be quite honest, it really doesn't matter at what point in his life this was occurring. What we need to focus in on is the honesty that David gives in this psalm. And it's amazing, and I hope that you see this as well, the progression here of how he begins this psalm, asking God how long. But then he ends the psalm with the triumph of faith. In six verses, how he can change from being in utter despair to being joyful in the Lord. There's three sections here that comprise this psalm. Verses 1 and 2 give us the complaint. Verses 3 and 4, the prayer. And in verses 5 and 6, the song of praise, the triumph of faith. I pray that whatever it is that you're enduring in your own life, that your heart will be comforted and encouraged by what we're going over this morning. The psalm begins, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Four times in these verses, four times, David cries out to the Lord, "How long?" Gives us the indication, one thing, that David really isn't going through some trial that's a very severe trial. It's just that this particular trial is lasting a long time. Sometimes the most struggle that we have in life is not with the trial that is the most severe, but with the trial that lasts the longest. And David is crying out to the Lord, pouring out his heart in this petition, this complaint. How long? The questions themselves express the sense that God has withdrawn from David, from David's experience, and has hidden himself. God's failure to appear in the psalmist's situation, he fails to appear and act in it, but to have a fear of abandonment, that God has forgotten him. In the Hebrew, this is really one sentence right here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? It doesn't have any breaks in it. One writer said, these verses plumb the depths of despair. How long are you going to forever forget me? Have you ever felt that God has abandoned you? Perhaps now in your situation, do you feel now that God is not present with you? That God has hidden His face from you? You know, this prayer is one that we need to take example from. First off, because for some, they have this idea that all prayer and worship is supposed to be with a smile on your face. And that's not true at all. A lot of times our prayers are prayers where we're grieving in our hearts and we're struggling and we want to pour out our soul to the Lord. Not some superficial prayer where we want to just thank God and praise Him for all these other things and just pretend that everything that's going on in our life isn't happening. That's not what you read in the Psalms. In fact, a lot of times in the Psalms you read quite the opposite. That it's the grieving, it's the depression that drives the worship of the psalmist. We come into church a lot of times and we want to just put all that stuff behind us. We want to ignore it. We want to come into the church and we want to put a smile on our face. And we want to have these certain songs or this certain kind of message that's going to make us feel good. And then it's just cheapen worship. We cheapen it. You need to bring everything that you're going through in your life. You need to bring it here and you need to pour out your soul to the Lord. And be honest in your prayer. Lord, this is what I'm feeling at this moment. Have you forgotten me? I've been enduring this trial for so long. Nothing has changed. Why do you hide your face from me? If you haven't felt that way, and you are a child of God, you will. There will come a time in your life, well, indeed, you will be saying these words that David is saying here. And you think of David, how mighty the Lord, how the Lord used David in a mighty way. You think of David, a man after God's own heart. And here David is crying out, why do you hide from me? How long is this going to last? He says, I take counsel in my soul. He hasn't heard anything from the Lord. He hasn't heard the word that he so desires from the Lord. And so he struggles within himself, trying to understand how he can fix his own problem. He feels like God isn't there. And so he must take steps his own self in order to try to rectify the wrong or try to reconcile whatever the situation is that he's enduring at this moment. So he takes counsel in his soul, and daily it only produces a sorrow in his heart, as he says here. You know, when you're enduring your trial, and everybody's going to endure them, you need to be honest with God about what you're feeling. And not only that, but you need to turn to God and try to seek healing and restoration and wisdom from Him instead of trying to work out your own situation by your own strength. It ain't going to work. You keep trying to do things after your own way, and the way that you want to do it, you're going to be striving after the wind, and nothing will be accomplished. You can't do it by yourself. We need to bring it before the Lord in it with an honest heart. Otherwise, ourselves will be having the same thing going on in our own souls. Only sorrow. Only seeing defeat. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? But then he moves into this. He gives his complaint. But he moves into this prayer. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. You know, it's an interesting thing that as David is beginning this psalm, he's crying out if the Lord has forgotten him or not. But he himself knows and he anticipates that God is indeed watching him, that God has not forsaken him. Otherwise, he would not be crying out to the Lord. If he really thought that the Lord had abandoned him or forsaken him, he would not be crying out to him. But you see what occurs. He pours out his soul. This is what I'm feeling at this moment. But I know. He knows within his soul that God is indeed hearing him. And so he moves into this prayer. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. He uses this covenant name of God. Lord, there is all capitals, if you notice that in your Bible. That gives us the indication that the Hebrew word there is Yahweh. It is God's covenant name, the name that he revealed to Moses from the burning bush. He says, consider and answer me, O Yahweh, the one who exists, my God. Same word in Genesis 1:1. Elohim means the mighty one. You see how his attention is turning from the fear of abandonment, and he cries out to the covenant God, the mighty one. The one who created all things is the one who can help me in my situation. From where does my strength come from? It comes from the Lord, the psalmist says. And David cries out, O Lord, Yahweh, my mighty one. He uses those names in such a way that he reminds himself not only that God is hearing him, but that God is faithful, because he is using that covenant name. He is saying it back to the Lord. You are the covenant God who does not He does not forsake his people. You are the mighty one, and you can work and you can rectify the situation. You can give me strength to endure it. He says, enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. You know, it's very possible that David was fatigued to the point of death. It's very possible. As he is being pursued by his enemies, getting to the point where he cannot take it any longer. He can't go anymore. And so he prays for the Lord to consider his situation, to answer him and enlighten his eyes. One writer said, to lighten the eyes that are dimmed with sorrow and ready to break is equivalent to imparting new life, which is reflected in the fresh, clear brightness of the eye. The lightning light is the light of the love beaming from divine countenance. David is in this situation and he needs the new life imparted to him from the Lord. He needs that refreshness. You know, it's very similar to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14. He went hungry. And when he finally got some honey, said his eyes lightened. He was refreshed. And that's what David is seeking. He's seeking an answer from the Lord so that he can be refreshed in this battle that he's enduring. That's what we all pray for, isn't it? Lord, let me hear a word from you. Father, just comfort my heart. Strengthen me during this time. Enlighten my eyes, for I will sleep the sleep of death. All I see before me, Lord, unless you enlighten my eyes, unless you refresh my soul, all I see before me is my decline and ultimately my death. And then he anticipates the rejoicing of his enemies over him. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. My adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. He only sees decline if he doesn't hear a word from the Lord. Have you been there? Perhaps you're there now. Friends, let me tell you something. The Lord does not abandon His people. The Lord does not forsake His people. Sometime your trial will last, and it will last a long time. But there is purpose in your suffering. God isn't leaving you and leaving you to your suffering because of perhaps you think He's bringing chastening in your life or whatever. Even in chastening, God is still with you. There is purpose in your suffering. God has not abandoned you. He is faithful to you. You are part of His new covenant people. He doesn't leave His people. And David realizes that. He knows that. That's why he is crying out to the Lord. He knows the Lord hears him. He knows that the Lord doesn't forsake His people. If you'll turn back with me just to Psalm 9, for example. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture here. David was assured that God did not abandon him. But in his human experience, in his humanness, in his fleshliness, those are the kind of thoughts that come to us when we feel that God isn't with us. But it's our faith that keeps us going. It's our faith that keeps pointing us to the Lord, knowing that He is the faithful God. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 9. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Verse 12. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Verse 18. For the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, beginning of verse 14, listen to this. What an encouragement. Beginning of verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. And the Lord has forgotten me. Look at this, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Flip back with me to Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, verses 7 to 9. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? Selah. the psalmist is asking these questions that we often ask ourselves during our time of trial, during our struggles. He asks these questions and he answers it with just Selah. It means to ponder. In our language, it would be think about it. Of course not, is the idea. He asks these questions. Is God going to reject forever? Has his loving kindness ceased? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Think about it. The answer is no. In Psalm 102, Psalm 102, look at how this psalm begins. You'll notice in your Bible how this psalm is introduced. A prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Listen to verses 1 and 2, how this thing begins. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. In the day when I call, answer me quickly. Now, watch this. Jump down to verse 16. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. The psalmist writes in the beginning of this psalm, let my cry come to you. Don't hide your face from me. But then he comes through the psalm and he says, the Lord has regarded the prayer of the destitute. He's not despised their prayer. And this is written for future generations that they may praise the Lord. This is written for future generations that in your time when you feel that you are abandoned from God, that you read these psalms and you see the struggles of those that come before us, and you can be comforted in your heart knowing that with these, his people, they cried out to him and with this honest cry from their hearts, and yet they were comforted and they were encouraged by the faithfulness of their God. And this is written for us. Be comforted in your time of trials, in your time of struggles. Be comforted when you feel like God has abandoned you. He really hasn't, because God is the covenant God and he's the faithful one who does not forsake his people. Back to Psalm 13. This is amazing. This is just amazing to me. Look at how we've moved so far. With the complaint of God abandoning him, into the prayer for him, crying out to the Lord to consider and to answer him, to refresh him. Let me just hear a word from you, Lord, that I can be refreshed in my soul. And then look at verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now what happened in the psalm? He begins, why have you abandoned me? In just 6 verses, he moves from that to the end saying, I've trusted in your loving kindness and my heart is going to rejoice in your salvation and I'm going to sing to you because you dealt bountifully with me. What changed? Nothing. Nothing changed. He's still in the situation that he is. The Lord hasn't delivered him yet. But yet, David remembers and recalls back to himself all these truths that we're talking about, that God does not forsake his people. And he says, I trusted in your loving kindness, your mercy, your graciousness. Your enduring allegiance is the idea there. For our God, who has entered into this covenant with his people, he is our God. We are his people. And he does not forsake those that are his. You need to understand that. He does not forsake those that are his. You are not forsaken. You are not alone. You. And in fact, if you just stop to think just for a moment, during the time of our trial and our suffering, if we had been going through this with our own strength, we would have given up a long time ago. We would have ended it all a long time ago. Throwing up our hands, we're done. But have you realized the fact of how long that you have endured? Do you know why? It's not because of you. It's because of the grace of God in you. You know, as Paul says in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The idea there is Him who empowers me. Isaiah 40 says He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't lose His strength. And when you have exhausted all of your resources and all of your own strength, and yet you're able to continue on, is because God has empowered you to endure. It isn't you. Well, this is more than I can take. Of course you can take. If you could handle it yourself, then you wouldn't be leaning on the Lord. Your trials are going to be that. I thought the Scripture said that the Lord isn't going to put more on me than I can handle. The Scripture never says any such thing. You will not find any Scripture that ever says that God will not put more on you than you can handle. But what you will read is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, My grace is sufficient for you. For My power is perfected in weakness. And Paul says, therefore I will boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, I'm really strong. Well, why is it you're strong? Because God is with you. His grace is with you. His grace is keeping you going. I can't take no more. Yes, you can. You can take more, and you can keep taking more, because your God's strength doesn't wane. The grace that your God has given you will never leave you. David knows that. David understands that. It's amazing. He moves from complaining to praying, and from praying to believing. And his trust was in his Lord. His trust was in Yahweh, in His goodness, in His grace. He anticipates this. He says, this is in the future tense, My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because He's dealt bountifully with me. He anticipates God is going to bring him through this. And rejoice, even in his time of sorrow. He can rejoice in the salvation that God has provided him. Even in your time of struggle, Lord. Why? Because you understand that as I'm enduring this trial, first off, I'm not alone, because God does not forsake His people. Two, that I'm still able to endure this because God is strengthening me to endure it. Three, I know that God is accomplishing something in my suffering and producing for me a weight of glory far beyond that will yet be revealed, as 2 Corinthians 4 tells us. There's purpose in it. It's not meaningless. So as you understand that God is working in you for good, for the betterment of someone else that is seeing you go through whatever your situation is, then you can rejoice in that. And you can rejoice knowing that your hope is in Him, and that at the proper time, if He returns beforehand, or that He takes you out of this world and He takes you home, you know that your suffering will end. And that it'll be for a purpose. God was using you to accomplish something. That is something to rejoice about. Does God really use us during our suffering? Of course He does. Just as Paul had mentioned to us, Romans 8:28, all things work for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. The problem occurs when we forget that stuff. When we forget it, and then we want to go and do things our own way. And what happens? We end up stumbling. We end up compromising who we're supposed to be in Christ, because we have neglected to do the things that God said to do. As you endure this, you act this way. You have wisdom from me through His Word. Do what the Scripture says, and you're going to be blessed even in the midst of your suffering. If you do anything contrary to that, you're going to be miserable. It's an interesting thing when people go through some situations and tough situations. One of the first things they do is to run from God instead of running to Him. You need to come to Him. Pour out your soul to Him. That's what David's doing. David isn't going around, "I can't believe, Lord, that you let my son run me out of Jerusalem. I can't believe that you allowed the hearts of the men of Israel to be turned from me and to turn to my son to conspire against me." Understand something, that this prayer is not a bitter cry from David. Understand something too, that David is not indulging in his despair. That's another problem that we have, is that we continually indulge in our despair of what we're going through at this time. We're playing the victim and we want sympathy from people. David is not seeking that. David is seeking healing from his Lord. What do? Do you play the victim? Do you coddle yourself within your despair? Or do you cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know my heart. You know what I'm going through. I don't even know what to pray." But the scriptures tell us in Romans that with groanings, the Spirit prays on behalf of us. We don't even know what to pray sometimes because of what we're going through. But what we do is to turn our attention to Him, knowing there's healing, knowing there's comfort. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And that's why David says, "I take counsel in my soul, but I have sorrow continually." He's looking in the wrong place. But you see what happens when he looks in the right place, when he focuses himself on the Lord. He says, "I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. I'm going to sing to you." John Calvin, he says this: "It was not that the persuasion of the truth of God's promise was extinguished in his heart, or that he did not repose himself on his grace. But when we are weary for a long time, weighed down by calamities, and when we do not perceive any help of divine aid, this thought unfavorably forces itself upon us that God has forgotten us. But when that happens, we do what David did. We cry out to the Lord." Your situations have a tendency to weigh you down. But God doesn't allow you to go through things in order to be defeated. You understand that? God doesn't allow things to come upon you in your life to defeat you. But ultimately, it is for your good. That's why the scriptures tell us in James 1 to count it all joy when you endure various trials. Because what's going to happen during this trial? One, you're going to understand that God is working something in you. And two, that in the midst of this trial, that you are going to be leaning more on the Lord and growing in your faith. That's what happens during trials. If you never had trials, you never grow. So you count it all joy. And then you also do what 1 Peter chapter 4, we understand what it says. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial which will come upon you for the testing of your faith, as if some strange thing happened to you. We expect it and we know it's coming, and so we prepare ourselves with the scripture. We prepare ourselves as we gather in worship, as we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we prepare ourselves for when the time will come, that we can pray the same thing that David prays: "I trust in your loving kindness. I'm going to rejoice in your salvation." Friends, I don't know what in your life right now, but what I do know is that there is healing with the Lord. I know that there is joy in the Lord, even in the midst of your sorrow. You know, one thing we've talked about on a number of occasions is in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Paul says on a few occasions, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice." You know, in the Greek, it's not just a statement he's making. This would be a good idea. He is giving a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. How can we do that? How do you rejoice in the midst of your sorrows? It's The same thing we've been talking about. You have confidence in Him. You have trust in Him. You trust in His grace that's given to you. You trust in the strength that He provides for you. You trust that He's accomplishing something in you and through you. And in that you can rejoice. So I pray this morning that whatever your situation is, that as we get ready to pray, that you won't just pray a superficial prayer, but that you will really pour out your heart to your Lord, to your covenant God, to the mighty one who is your God. That's my prayer this morning for all of us. I know situations come, some are more difficult than others, some last longer than others. But I promise you, if you are a child of God, that your Lord is with you, and you're not alone. And that at His time, in His time, He will bring you through it. If you remind yourself of one particular scripture that comes to mind, is in John 5. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda. He had been lame for 37, 38 years before the Lord healed him. He had the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8, had the issue of blood for 12 years. In Luke chapter 13, you had the woman who was tormented by a spirit for 18 years before the Lord healed her. Your trials may last a long time. It may last a short time, whatever the Lord purposes to do. But at His proper time, He will bring you through. But until then, you keep your focus on Him. You let your heart be moved by His salvation that you've been granted and know He's accomplishing something through you. So as you pray, whatever you're going through, pour out your heart to your Lord. Ask Him to restore the joy of His salvation to you. Ask Him to indeed accomplish whatever He's desiring to accomplish in you and through you. And ask Him for wisdom on how to walk before Him in a manner pleasing to Him, that you don't stumble and bring reproach upon His name. Cry out to Him and pour out your heart, beloved. He does not despise your prayer. Let's stand if you would. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly come into Your presence this morning. Father, we thank You that You are indeed faithful. Father, we can trust in Your mercy and Your grace that was granted us in Christ Jesus, that You don't forsake us. Father, we understand. Help us to understand, Father. Help us to remember, help us to recall what Christ's work has done for us. Father, that He was abandoned on the cross and endured Your wrath so that we, Your people, will never be abandoned. Let us remember that. Let us always reflect on that. Christ was abandoned so that we will never be. That was what Christ accomplished because of Your love, because of Your mercy and Your grace. Father, encourage our hearts through these truths that we have seen this morning. Apply them to our lives. Father, I pray also that if anyone here does not know You, doesn't know Your love, doesn't know Your comfort, doesn't know Your encouragement, doesn't know peace because they have not peace with You. Father, I pray that You would grant them salvation, grant them the repentance of sins, forgiveness of sins. Father, that they can be brought into Your family and know, Lord, that You are the faithful God who will never leave them or forsake them. We pray, Lord, that all you accomplish in our life will be obviously to your glory. And Father, that we wouldn't get in the way and hinder the work that you're accomplishing. Give us wisdom, Father, to walk before you in a manner that's worthy of Christ. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.